for school.
Yeah.
Was there any feeling of discomfort at the Jewishness?
No.
No, I did not. It was comfortable.
It was very comfortable, because you have to remember, in those days, the Hill District was predominantly Jewish and Italian. And my Jewish grandmother could not speak a word of Italian, and yet her best friend was her next door Italian grandmother. And they got along very well. We did not have a difficulty.
What were the names of your parents?
Bertha and Abraham.
Did you have partake in any special activities in school?
Nothing startling. I belonged to the usual little clubs in school, but I graduated grade school when I was 14 years old. And so when I went into college, that's when I began to, then I was married while I was in college.
Oh, your graduate work in social work, was at Pitt also?
Pitt. And they had sent me to Kingsley House as my first assignment. And I felt that I wasn't doing the young people injustice, because the holidays were coming and I wasn't excited and they were so excited and I really didn't know. And so I went to the YMWHA, and Miriam Ephraim, who was one of the outstanding group workers in this country, was there, and she took a shine to me and I to her, and I began to work at the Y. And that's where I had my group work experience, because I could relate so much better than I could to the other holidays. As much as I tried and read and everything, I just really felt that I was not doing justice.
Just interested in what kind of group work?
With the groups of young people who met to learn some, many of them have social amenities, and many had to get along with each other. It was clever, because my first group was called Vivalettes, and afterwards I thought, you know, I was smarter than I am now. That's still Viv spelled backwards. And young people in Pittsburgh now, they're people in their 50s and 60s keep saying, I'm one of your Vivalettes. That's a very interesting thing. And we learned the human values. Self-worth. All the holidays. And this is all under the guidance of Miriam Ephraim. She had a curriculum that was stupendous. And she was one of the ones who realized the importance of human values and self-worth.
What did you do for fun and recreation?
Theater always, and music, and traveling. And I still read it pretty good. My big problem now is trying to find time to read fiction, which I'm not being very successful. There's so much that comes in from the organization that demands my attention and my time. And this past 9 months have been just horrible. My husband, we had purchased this apartment 2 months before he passed away. And I had to sell my house and move. But my family again, closeness in the family, and my daughter came and stayed with me for quite a while. Her son is studying for his bar mitzvah, and
I met him at the wedding.
And I for a while I could not travel. I was so depressed. But I have come out of that completely. The sorrow is whatever, but at least the depression I have. And I travel, coordinate with women. In many cases, as a troubleshooter. In many cases, for meetings. But the Anti-Defamation League keeps me extremely busy and alert. Next week, I will go to Washington. There'll be an executive board meeting. And the week after that, I will go to an executive board of the Anti-Defamation League of the neighborhood. Where some of the most committed Jews in the world have come and have given of their time and energy. And we try to discuss world problems, and this accumulation of all the organizations. When some people ask, isn't there a duplication between the Anti-Defamation League and the American Jewish Committee or American Jewish Congress? I say no, because there are so many problems that there's enough for everybody to do. We try very hard not to duplicate. We can work on the same subject, but we come from different angles. Check in the stand because we're active.
That we belong to and try to become active in a small way, many of them. And
yes.
Although their concerns are basically the same, and there's a need for them.
The organizational work in general has been a boon to me at this time in my life. I will show you a collage that Maybrick Lunan did for me when I was president several years ago, which indicates to you the kind of traveling I did and the people that I met. They put it all together in the collage, which I thought was so great, rather than the
That's a treasure.
Yes, and I have pictures on Gulliver.
And you're kept fairly well tied up in organization work. Don't have, outside of some socializing with family, you don't have a lot of other time.
No, I have very dear friends. Friends who remain friends for
many
years. 50 years. Yes, and which has also been a great boon to me. They've been extremely, extremely helpful to me. This is an entire different part of my life, let's say. As I thought of it the other day, I thought I've never lived alone in my lifetime, because I was married right out of college and went back to college. And I was married almost 50 years. And this is the first time I have been really living alone.
It's hard.
Beyond, I knew it would be difficult, but I was not prepared. My husband was not sick for one day, which in a way is very good. In a way, the shock I will never get over.
You are fortunate that you have such intense interests, Dorothy.
Yes.
On such a moving scale that you can lose yourself in it.
Yes. I find that I can still do that,
which is very important.
And family.
Because it doesn't become easier.
No. When my father was very sick, and he said, why don't we play cards? The moment I thought, and my daughter said that, Grandpa, can my mother give you a little speech instead? Because I don't know how to play cards. I really, honestly, do not. I just didn't have the time. It was a matter of choice. And it just happened that our friends did not either. It was just a little circle that where we loved to get together and talk. And go to the theater and do other things together, but we didn't play cards, which maybe I'll have to learn one day.
May I interrupt 1 second? You started earlier, very, very early on in the discussion, talking about your experience in 27 countries and really didn't tell us much about them. And I'm sure you have some wonderful recollections about some of the places.
Well, I have found that our people take on the characteristics of the country in which they live. It is absolutely unbelievable if you're picked up by an Irish member of B'nai B'rith Women. You see what we would consider a typical Irish woman in France and in Germany and in Switzerland and in England, my goodness. But our people take on the not only the speech patterns but the mannerisms and the culture of the country. It was so fascinating to me and to my husband to find this to be the case in Turkey. I mean, everywhere their clothes, their demeanor, their interests,
their dress,
many. Probably the most fascinating part. Those 2 years were about the most fascinating years of mine.
Do you find that they, or did you find, that they adhere strictly to Jewish law?
In variations thereof, for Mexico, for example, they consider themselves Orthodox. They ride to the synagogue. They have 2-hour services. They don't keep kosher. And they consider themselves Orthodox Jews. And we have made some lifelong friends with all of these people. Because so many of them have had children have come here. Pitt Dental School is very popular among our Jewish people from around the... can I get you a drink there?
I don't know what happened all of a sudden.
So there's going to be an international meeting people honoring Dr. Starshall who have had transplants. One of the transplant people coming in who had liver transplant was the international treasurer of the neighborhood women, Harry Babish. His wife called one day, just two years ago, and said, Dottie, in the neighborhood women they call me, if anybody calls me Dottie, you know, it's the neighborhood. That's happened over the last 45 years. We're in town, and I said, great, and he said, not so great, a liver transplant. Well, we were able to go into high gear. It just happens, my family had everything they needed. First of all, he had a very bad tooth. That took care of that. He needed a lawyer, so that took care of that. He needed an apartment. We got him the Fairfax. He had... 3 liver transplants before it took. He is in such perfect condition. He's living a full and happy life. And they called last week and they said, we are taking you next Tuesday to this international liver transplant convention. But there are so many, there are hundreds are coming from around the world. And they're coming to Pittsburgh, of course, because of Dr. Starshall. But B'nai B'rith has become an extended family, and my daughter adores the neighborhood woman. I went down to install her as president of her chapter,
mm-hmm.
and it was the worst installation I ever did. I was so emotional. And and she finally said to me, "Here, Mom, here's a gavel you're supposed to be giving to me." But as they each young person in our entire family has been touched because the program is so vast and it includes something.
Dr. Gam is in the country now, you know. He came in from Israel already.
Yes, I'm not surprised.
He is very friendly with Stanley Hirsch.
Yes, yes,
and
sure.
And those family went out to pick him up the other night.
Oh, is business. Oh,
he was here. He was in the building for dinner here because Ruth had him for dinner.
On the same floor as I am. Ruth is on this floor.
Yeah. Well, she had him for dinner.
Yes. Isn't that interesting? Well, the next week the Babishes will be here for dinner, and I will be with them at their at the international convention. Many students have come from all over the country, even outside the country, to one of the schools at in Pittsburgh. Carnegie Mellon has attracted a lot of students outside of the, because of the reputation and so on, and Pitt. And so the parents call us and say, you know, we have. And one year, when my husband went into the quadrangle every Tuesday at the University of Pittsburgh, 8 kids got in. We had 8 regulars who ate with us every Tuesday night. And our entire family, has, not just my immediate family, but my brothers and sisters-in-law and nieces and nephews, have taken to this kind of, they've learned to, they learn from each other. And it's extended family is the only way that I can.
Dorothy, when you lived in the Hill District, you say it was predominantly Jewish.
And Italian.
Economically, culturally, politically, what was the situation there?
We were fortunate. My father was a very successful jeweler, and so he used to love me to the PMI every week, to Pittsburgh Musical Institute. They made sure that we had all of the advantages, not all of the, unfortunately, not all of the Jewish people.
What was their general situation for the most part?
Middle class and lower. There was a good middle class, but there was also the ones who were really struggling to make a living. Hucksters, paper hangers. There were people struggling, working in mills, sewing. There was a microcosm of everyone. Among this Jewish group, there was a real microcosm. And there were some excellent synagogues around which.
Each group had its own synagogue.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And there was a Carnegie Library there. It was really a very comfortable place in which to be brought up. But I did realize that we had more advantages there, as faith there. And there are others. There were a goodly number of grocery stores, cleaning establishments, all owned and operated by Jewish people and their families. I'm trying to think of where in Pittsburgh would be. Has such an enclave, and I can't. Squirrel Hill is not quite that kind of a community.
Maybe as it used to be.
As it used to be, yes. As it used
the
to
Marie
be.
Marie Agnes,
yes.
Used to be old,
yes.
Family stores.
Yes.
Were they politically active?
Well, my father was just always real because. And if any Jewish person had a political job, a good job, Adolf Edlitz was the first Jewish city treasurer, and my father just thought that man was just. And when he became a client of my husband's, my father thought my husband had really arrived. Yeah, because it wasn't easy for Jews to break into politics at that time.
Were your mother and father married before they came here?
And my father came here first, and then he went back and got my mother.
As they were married?
In Europe.
In Europe.
Mm-hmm. And she was already pregnant when she came here.
I see.
compelled him to come to the United States. Mm-hmm. They lived in a very poor village.
Where was it?
It's called, now it's called Lvov. My nephew has made a study of it, but it was called Vilnius at that time, and it was in the Austria-Hungary Empire. And
that's where my family came. Mine too, that's why.
Oh, really? Oh, and my nephew, incidentally, my young nephew has a dental office in this building on the first floor. My sister Bernice's boy, Michael Milnick.
I've been
doing very nicely.
Yes, very nice.
It's very good for him and it's very good for me. And a genealogist. Yes, and he has been ours. He takes his vacations going to genealogy conventions. And so he really has us down at his family tree in the most professional manner. But that's the kind of man he is. But genealogy is his hobby.
Dorothy, during the years of the Depression, where did you live?
The Hill District.
You were still in the Hill District. Were you aware of it?
Yes, I was aware of it because the banks closed. That's the only way I was in our bank among them. Two of us were. We moved out before the worst of the Depression, and at the very worst, we'd already been in the East End area, and my brother and I were both in. He was in dental school, and I was in college, and it was a difficult time.
Well, when did you move from the Hill District to East End?
When was that? Do you remember? No.
After high school?
It was in between high school. We had moved, but I went to Peabody. I went to Fifth Avenue High School for 2 years.
Oh.
And moved to, I moved right in the middle. And that was already the beginning of the Depression, and then the Depression hit very badly. And our family, all families, went through many traumas. My husband's family branched off into real estate and had lost everything. So we, as the older children, we remember. Now, the younger children, younger than we are, they don't remember. We do remember.
Your family has been very active at B'nai Israel,
right?
Tell us something about it.
An interesting part, I don't know if it's interesting to you, it's interesting to me, in that my father and mother were very strictly Orthodox, and my people had to make a choice of either the family being together at B'nai Israel and sitting together, or going to one of the smaller synagogues in the neighborhood where the women sat upstairs. And my father, incidentally, never kept his jewelry store open on Saturday. You could do that then at the Hill District. It was that much of a Jewish enclave that he closed at sundown on Friday, and he opened Sunday morning, and Sunday was the busiest day. Everybody came from all the small towns, and everybody came to buy jewelry on Sunday. But he really believed this very strongly, and yet he had to weigh and measure, and he said, I consider it a privilege to sit next to my wife. And we moved to the and I know that his instincts were much more orthodox than I asked him.
But the family still adheres.
We do, and we all keep kosher for one reason. I don't know how long everybody will, but our parents, we want to be sure that our parents and in-laws always did. Would eat our homes. And so that's why we all, and we still do. And as I say, I don't think the next generation is going to do it. I can see already that they're not, but we do adhere to it.
It's really not that hard.
Today, I don't find it hard at all, really. It's habit, and it's comfortable. And they'd run out, put out the kiddush cup and the color cover and the whole thing, and it's better. In fact, right now, in this time of my life, the only time I cook at all is for Friday. I just have no heart for any other cooking for Friday. We celebrate each other's birthdays, anniversaries, during the Shiva period that Doris had. It was just a perfectly natural thing for us to pitch in and bring dinners over.
As a matter of fact, I had said to Ruth I was going to check with you because I wasn't quite sure you might be available this afternoon. I felt that if you wouldn't be, you would have called me.
Yes. This afternoon, everything is taken care of, but we will all meet in Tvinay Israel so that Merv and Doris won't be alone during the because they've had minions every morning and every night without fail. But Friday night you have to go to the synagogue. And the synagogue welcomes them back into the land of the living, or whatever terminology is. So our whole family knows that. Yeah, it's very interesting to open up the doors.
They're a good part of that.
Yeah.
See, Doris is the president of the Bnei Israel.
Is that a conservative custom or a Bnei Israel custom?
I think it's truly a conservative custom. But Bnei Israel, the Decker Chapel, has folding doors, and so at one point in the service, the synagogue, all the participants turned around and welcomed them back. They opened those doors. And it's a beautiful kind
That's
of...
That's a beautiful...
Really
yes, it is.
So we will all be there. But they were all...
Which Dectors gave that chapel?
The three brothers. Doris's father, and Sam, and Harvey. And we gave the Oren Kodesh in memory of my parents.
Your daughter lives in Florida.
Yes.
Where did she go to school?
She went to Duquesne, and then she got her master's degree at Pitt.
What was her field?
Education.
Does she do anything with it now?
She was subbing and... now she is. She went to the library at school. So she's. Her son goes to a Solomon Schechter all day school. They have 250 students. It's a. It's the area is called Kendall, where the fastest growing Jewish
family lives there.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Well, they must go to Beth Shara.
Well, their children are all grown.
And he just graduated from there. From the sixth grade, and I went down to graduation, and now he goes to Gulliver's Academy, which is like Shadyside.
Uh-huh.
But that's 250 families in a Solomon Schechter school. It's a tremendous school. And my daughter's standards as a teacher are high, and she was very satisfied with what he did learn. So she would substitute, but she has given mostly volunteer service. How she loves volunteer services, and I'm really fascinated with it. And I'm very pleased.
The apple didn't fall far from the tree.
But most of our women tell me that their children react exactly the opposite. They don't want to hear anything about it.
It's part of our lives.
Yeah.
That was our identification.
Yes, it was. It was. It served a lot of purposes for us. It served a lot of purposes.
No, it's very strange. I remember the first Hebrew word that I really knew
was
my mother went to a Kehillah meeting.
Oh, is that you?
The first Hebrew word I knew.
But they have groups down there. She has an extended family there that pleases me no end. When we go down there, one of her friends has a brunch for us. When her friends' people come down, Margie has the
Wonderful.
French. It's, and they belong to other groups. They invite each other to everything. And she really, and when she lived in Pittsburgh, she belonged to Westmoreland, and she did a lot of things, but she did not get the satisfaction that she's getting out of this by road arrangement. Is there something different there that...
Well, it has reached her, and that's the important thing.
It has reached her. What are the kind of questions that you wanted to ask me?
Well, I have just... Did you have, when you were doing social work, did you work with closely with people? Did you have many colleagues that you had to interact with?
Yes, I tell you that besides the group work, I worked for the Department of Public Assistance.
Oh.
I had a lot of fun, one-on-one. Those were the days when my in-laws felt that I was working. That was an indication that their son was not making a living. And we all left. He was a young lawyer. He really wasn't. it was really an interesting kind of thing. But if people would tell my father-in-law that my daughter works with your daughter-in-law, my father-in-law was very upset. He just felt that was a bad reflection upon his son. Always. And yet they encouraged me in my volunteer work. They were wonderful.
But not the breadwinner.
No, and I did enjoy it, and I had made friends, many of them.